Good morning.
Good morning.
I was making sure my microphone was on. I think I'm good. I'll wait for a cue from the back if I'm not. Well, very glad to be here today. Me and my family are just blessed to be able to worship with you this morning. As was said, my name's Lindsey Judd, and I'm just finishing up my second year at Ezel Harding Christian School, just a couple miles away. If you don't know anything about Ezel Harding Christian School, we are a two-year-old through 12th grade private Christian school right here in Antioch. And we've been there for about 46 years. And Ezel Harding and Antioch have had a great relationship. You all come down and use our gym sometimes. Me and my wife were just noticing, we used this podium last year at our Inspire event when Mike Fisher came and spoke at our school. He stood behind this podium, so that's pretty cool if you're a Predators fan. So thank you for helping us with that. But we've enjoyed a great relationship, and so I'm just thrilled to be here today. Thank you to Andrew. I know he's not here this morning. He's with the youth, but just thank you for him for inviting me and for his hospitality over the last year and a half as we've gotten to know each other better and welcoming me into this community. If you'd like to know anything more about Ezel Harding, if you'd like to know anything about how your children might be able to be a part of our family, I'd love to talk to you. I'll be here after service and just kind of hang out. Just come and introduce yourself and love to speak to you about the school and the great things that are going on at school. I always like to say when your church and your family and your school are all pointing in the same direction, it's a great thing and God's working in great ways. And so if you'd like to know anything more about that, I know I met some of you that have had kids come through there or even grandkids. I know we've got different people that are associated with the school in the audience right now. And so just thank you for everything that you do, both this church and this community and for the school. I'm just excited to be able to share with you this morning. I've been thinking about what to share with you for the next few minutes. And let me just say this, in the worship meeting before we started, back in the back, I'm not quite sure how I got there, but I went through a couple doors and went to a secret room in the back and we met about six guys, and we prayed. It was great. But I asked a very important question in my mind, which was, how long does the service normally go? And I got two different people told me, without talking to each other, they said 11:15. And nobody corrected them. I think somebody finally said, no, it's 10:15, not 11:15. So if I go a little long, it is their fault. I don't know if they're on the wrong. I know last week was daylight savings time. Maybe they're on the wrong time zone. I don't know. But again, glad to be here today. I want to talk to you about three simple words and give just a few examples in the Bible with this. And those three simple words are this: trust in God. Trust in God. Because I don't know you very well. I know some of you pretty well, but most of you I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're on a mountaintop right now or you're in a valley. I don't know a whole lot about you personally. But I know things about people. And that is that some of you are experiencing a great moments right now. You just had a baby. You got a new job, a promotion. Maybe you just got married. Maybe you had a grandchild. Maybe this something's going really well in your life, and you're really on top of the world this morning. As you come into church, and it's really easy to smile and meet people and talk about the great things that are going on in your life. And then I know some of you are on the opposite end where you're experiencing loss, or there's things that are hard in your life. There might be financial hardships. There might be relationship issues. There's all kinds of things that could be happening that are really hard to deal with. And for you, it was hard to walk in this morning. It's hard to kind of put on the facade that everything's okay and that things are going great as you talk to people because you're hurting. And I know there's a bunch of us right in between that kind of in the middle where it's not great things going on. There might not be terrible things going on, but we're living life. And the thing about life is today might be one of those and tomorrow might be the completely opposite. And we go through life with this ebb and flow of good and bad things happening to us. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about my life and the things that I experienced both at my church at Jackson Park and then at EZEL with my job and with my family and friends and different people, that phrase just kept coming up, and that was those three words: trust in God. Because God has blessed us all as His people. He sacrificed His Son because He loved us. He has equipped us with the Holy Spirit throughout our daily lives. He is with us in every aspect of our life. He's with us every second of every day. He's with us every day of the week, every week of the year, every year of our life. He's with us all the time, and He is looking out for our best interests. He is loving us on a daily basis. And we need to trust in Him. We need to trust in God. Trust means a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Trust. There's this story at the beginning of Luke 18, if you'll turn with me there. My wife just bought me a new Bible. This is the last week. This is the first time publicly I've used this Bible. So feel honored. Luke 18. It's this parable that Jesus tells about, my Bible says, the parable of the persistent widow. And she bought me this Bible because I needed a large print Bible. Because I can't see. So if I mess up, I've got it all printed in larger print on paper if I need it. I think we're good. You got nice lights here. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. Against my adversary. See, this woman, this widow, she's in a situation, and it doesn't tell us specifics, but we know that she is has this situation against her adversary, and she needs justice against him. And the person that she's got to go to is this man who the Bible says neither feared God nor cared what people thought. See, I think that we feel like that sometimes, that we need justice. We've got situations going on, and we are trying to get through them. And we feel like we're beating our head against the wall because the only way to get help is to talk to people who don't fear God and don't care what other people think. And we end up beating our head against the wall and trying to get what needs to be done done. And so as you think about that, I want you to think about a few stories that we're about to talk about. These few stories that show, and there are so many, these few stories in the Bible that show people trusting in God in hard situations. People trusting in God where there might be this situation that's out of the normal, out of the ordinary, that they're having to look to God for trust. And I want you to think about these things. The first thing is this. We have to trust God and not circumstances. Genesis 37 tells of Joseph and his brothers and the plot against him. I can relate to this. I've got a very large family. I won't go into details, but I'm the sixth child in my family, and so I can relate to having lots of brothers and sisters in my house. I can't relate to the rest of the story necessarily, except when you're the sixth child, you've got five older brothers and sisters, and there's probably some degree of people picking on you throughout your lifetime. Some degree. But here's Joseph in this situation where his father loved him and his brothers are jealous. And as they
go through this situation. They scheme to kill him. Not from anything that he did, not from anything that he did to them, but because they're jealous. They scheme to kill him. And then one of the brothers, he decides, you know what, maybe we should not kill him, but maybe we should sell him instead and fake his death. Because we don't necessarily need to kill him, we can just sell him to the people coming by. And so they do that. They trap him in a pit and they sell him off, never to see him again. See, life's full of circumstances. There's so many things that we have nothing to do with. They're not our fault. They're not something that we cause. They just happen. And many times we look at these situations and we just can't figure out why these things happen. Why would God allow this to happen? We get caught up in today and what's happening to us today instead of the big picture of life. I reminded my students last week when I had a chance to talk to them, I reminded them that God is the master storyteller. We go see movies that have conflict and drama, things that happen that are bad in movies, and we leave those movies and say, what a great story. What a great story. They overcame conflict. But in our own life, when conflict happens, we tend to dwell in it, losing the sight of the big picture of God being the master storyteller. He's telling the story of your life. And so that's why I love the story of Joseph. There's not much said about Joseph between chapter 37 of Genesis and chapter 39, but here's what the beginning of chapter 39 says. Genesis 39:1 says this. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Don't trust in circumstances. Trust in God. Let God tell your story. But it's hard. It's hard because sometimes God doesn't work in our time. And so what I want us to remember is that trusting is not always done in our time. It's done in God's time. There's a great verse in Jeremiah 29 that you have heard many times. Jeremiah 29:11. You can probably recite it without me reading it. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." What a wonderful thought it is that God has a plan for us, and it's not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. It's a very comforting verse. You see it on posters. You see it on themes for different years or churches or schools. People use this verse all the time. But if you go look at the context of Jeremiah 29, it does put some things into perspective. Because in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, we've got a situation going on where God's people are in exile. They're in exile in Babylon. And so listen to the context of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. Beginning in verse 4. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Here's what he says. "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are not prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So I don't know if you caught that or not, but verse 10 says, when 70 years are completed. That's the context of Jeremiah 29:11. 70 years is a lifetime. My father passed away last year. He was 78 years old. 70 years is a lifetime. And so when we say those verses that God has a plan for us to prosper, sometimes our time and his time are not the same. Sometimes what we may think only needs to take a week might take a year. Sometimes things that we think need to take a year, they might take 10 years. And sometimes God's plan is over a whole generation of people because he knows what he's doing. He told them to trust him. Even when it was not in their time frame, trust in God. See, we can't trust in circumstances. Sometimes trusting has to be in God's time frame. And trusting is not always doing things our own way. We have to trust in God even when it's not doing things our way. There's a great story in 2 Chronicles 20 about King Jehoshaphat. I think I said that correctly. 2 Chronicles 20. It's this story of God's people again in a situation of stress, in a situation where there are bad things about to happen. You see, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, heard that people were coming to attack them. Multiple different people. And so he and the people of the land cry out to God and they pray to him and they ask what to do. And in that beginning of verse 20, you get the whole prayer. And they pray to God. It says in verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. In verse 14, it says this, then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Verse 15. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Kororahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Verse 20. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. You see, this group, this Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and the people of Jerusalem, they knew these men were attacking. They prayed to God, what are we to do? And you know what God didn't say? He didn't say, go find more men, go train yourself in the best way to battle, and I will deliver you and fight, because that's what I might have expected him to say. Instead, he said, this battle's not yours. Go to the place, and I will take care of it. And what did Jehoshaphat do? What did the people do? They listened. They trusted in God. They went out there, and my favorite part of the story is that they went out there with men singing praises to God, walking into a battle they had no idea what was about to happen. Sounds like my life sometimes. I think it probably sounds like yours. That you go into situations where you have no idea what's about to happen, but you know you have a God on your side who is with you, who is on your side. And I love it that they went into that singing praises to God. They won the battle because of trust in God. You know, another thing that trust is not always, and that is it's not always comfortable. Trusting in God is not always comfortable. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the conversion of Saul, who later was named Paul. I like it partly because once he is converted, God tells this man named Ananias to go to Straight Street to see Saul. I've always thought it was great that there's a street name in the story and that he has to go to Straight Street. No street number, just a street name. Straight Street. But this man, Ananias, is God speaks to him in Acts chapter 9, and he tells him what to do. He says this, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and again taking some food, he regained his strength. Trusting in God is not always comfortable. Sometimes it causes you to end up in situations that you didn't plan. They could be scary situations. They could be unpleasant situations. They could even be life-threatening. But God has a plan for you. See, God had this plan for Ananias to go meet a man who had killed Christians. He said, trust me, I need you to help me in this story. Because this story is not necessarily about you. It's about my people. It's about future Christians, because this man, Saul, is going to be the person who sparks Christianity in the realm of Gentiles. And I need you to go minister to him. I need you to be my vessel to go talk to him. He has a great plan, an eternal plan for you. God may be using you to start a great revival among his people. You never know. Trust in God. That parable we started out with in the book of Luke about this persistent widow. I started with that story because as I read that, and I read it a couple weeks ago, reading about this woman who was pleading to this unjust judge who didn't fear God and didn't care what other people thought. But she kept going. She kept asking. She kept asking to give her justice against whoever it was that was bothering her. She asked for justice. Here's what Jesus said to her. Jesus said to the people listening, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily." You see, this persistent widow is crying out to this unjust judge. And eventually the judge says, if you read the next verse, it says the judge gives her what she wants because of her persistence. See, I think trusting in God is this daily relationship between us and him where we cry out to God every day. That we put our hopes and dreams into his hands from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. That we are constantly asking him for his favor, constantly asking for his help. That's what this persistent widow did. And Jesus said, if this unjust person is, this unjust judge is going to grant what she says, think about what your God, who is holy, who is the creator of the universe, who is one who loves his people, is going to do for you when you ask him. We've got to trust that. We've got to trust that today's circumstance is not something that's going to last forever. We've got to trust that maybe our time is not God's time, but eventually our God is going to be faithful. We have to trust that maybe it's not going to happen the way that we think it should happen. Maybe God's got a different way to do it. And we've got to trust that maybe it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable for us to walk in his path. But we also have to trust that God is faithful to his people. That God is going to be there for us. Look at the evidence of this. God sent his son to die for us because he loves us. God gave us a helper in the Holy Spirit because he loves us. God gave us scripture and Bibles for us to read because he loves us. God gave us the avenue of prayer because he loves us. God put all of these things in our lives, and it's been mentioned many times this morning. God put friends and family around you this morning and a church home around you this morning because he loves you, and he's putting you in a situation to ultimately succeed. And although today might be uncomfortable, today might be difficult, right this very moment might be very hard. God is working in your life and he's telling this great story for you. And your story might be an encouragement to someone else who's going through something similar. And maybe they see your struggles and they're encouraged to get closer to God because of the way that you trusted God. Trust in God. He's there for us. Don't trust in your circumstances. Remember that your timeline may not be God's timeline, that God's way may be different than your way, and might not even be comfortable for you. But trust in God. He loves you and will be with you in all circumstances.